Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Lord, we know that you are more than just a bunch of laws, and we know that being your people is more than just obeying your rules. And so please open our eyes today that we might get a clearer picture of what it means to live for you. And we pray that this may change us from the heart, from the inside out, so that we might be the people that you want us to be. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, is Christianity all about following rules? It's a very common misconception that people have, even people who call themselves Christian. People talk about the do's and don'ts of Christianity. What's Christianity about? Christianity is about not drinking, not lying, not sleeping around. It's about going to church, giving your money, being nice to people. When people see Christians, that's often the first thing that comes to mind. A lot of conversations in the public space are also about centering on the rules of Christianity, centering on their ethics. Some people praise the rules of Christianity. They'll say Christian morals are good, right? The Ten Commandments, they're the foundation of Western society and the reason why we have been so successful. But other people will also criticize the rules. They will say Christian morals are bad. They are cruel and oppressive, especially towards women and people of different gender identities. No doubt there are major discussions that we could have about the ethics and morals of Christianity, but that's not the focus of our passage today. What God is going to show us today, though, is that this whole idea that Christianity is about rules is actually a total misconception. You see, Christianity is not about rules. In fact, it's about dying to rules. And that's what Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6 is about. And I hope that all of us leave today wanting to do more than just follow the rules, tick the boxes, be good and nice people, because being a Christian is about more than that. And so we're in chapter 7 of the book of Romans. This is the Apostle Paul's letter to the Roman church. We've seen from the last few weeks how God has been loving, kind, and righteous to us by sending his son Jesus to be that sacrifice for our sins so that we can be made right with God. We've seen that this is not an excuse to keep on sinning because we have died to sin like Jesus did. But today, Paul is going to expand on that by saying that we haven't just died to sin. We have also died to the law. And Paul is going to use this image of marriage to make his point that the Roman church are like people who have gone from an old marriage to a new marriage. The old marriage of the law to the new marriage of following Jesus. And so firstly, we see the old marriage, and that is verses 1 to 3. "Or do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress." I grew up in a culture where marriage humor was very popular. And so at wedding receptions, they would tell all these jokes about marriage that nowadays are a little bit cringe. People would say stuff like, marriage is not just a word, it is a sentence, a life sentence. Or they will say stuff like, a man is incomplete until he gets married. After that, he is finished. Or in marriage, there are three rings. First, there is the engagement ring. Second, there is the wedding ring. And third, there is the suffering. Now, as bad as these jokes are, there are two truths about marriage, two things that are actually true that underlie them. And that is that marriage is binding and marriage is lifelong. Marriage is binding because it places restrictions on what you can do. And it's lifelong because only death can undo it. It is till death do you part. And Paul is saying here that God's people had a similar relationship to the Old Testament law. He writes at the very beginning, I am speaking to those who know the law. You read that, you instinctively think maybe this is just Jewish Christians because they had God's law in the Old Testament. The law was the first five books of the Bible, Genesis to Deuteronomy, and it was the Jews who had that. But I think it's probably also talking to non-Jewish Christians who were somewhat familiar with the law because, you know, they're Christian and they read the law as part of their Christian lives. And so people like us, so we read the Old Testament too. And so like it says here, it's anyone who knows the law. And Paul is saying here, look, people who know the law, they know that the law was binding on God's people in the Old Testament. Consistently, the law was the guide for the people of Israel. It was the standard by which all their behavior was judged. When good things happened to them, it was because they followed the law. When bad things happened, it was because they disobeyed the law. God's people were bound by the law. Now, I want you to stop and think for a second, kind of from your knowledge of the Bible, right? Like, I'm speaking to those who know the law. Do you think being bound by the law was a good thing for God's people? Well, in one sense, you would say yes. So there are some really good laws in the Old Testament, right? The Ten Commandments. So who can argue with do not murder, do not steal, take a rest every now and then? People examine the Old Testament law, and when they compare them to other nations of the time, when they compare apples with apples, they say these laws are more humane, more equitable, and more compassionate to the poor, the vulnerable, and the foreigners than other law codes that existed at the time. And so, in one sense, it was good to be bound by the law. But in another sense, a very important sense, it was actually not good for God's people to be bound by the law. And that's what we see in our passage today. Going ahead a little bit, if you look at chapter 7, verse 5, look at what the law did for God's people. It says, for while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. You see, we might think that laws decrease sin, but notice here it's saying the opposite. It's saying instead, for people who live in the flesh, people who don't want to follow God, laws increase sin. The law arouses sinful passions. And in our experience, we know this to be true, don't we? The best example I've heard of this is if you're walking through a shopping centre, say, or an office building or a hotel, and you pass a door with a sign on it and it says, no entry. What does that immediately make you think? You start to think, ooh, you know, I wonder what's behind that door. I really want to open it now and see what's behind it. And you would not have had those thoughts if there wasn't a sign, if there wasn't a rule. There are sinful passions that are aroused by the law. I was on a train once in a quiet carriage, and there was a person who was being super loud talking on their phone, and there was another guy who was saying to them, look, this is a quiet carriage. You've got to turn it off. This is a quiet carriage. Do you think it stopped them? No, it didn't, right? They talked even louder. And before we judge people like that, you know, we feel this too, don't we? When people try and tell us to stop doing things, right? People try and tell us what to do. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do it even harder. When people really want to sin, laws don't stop them sinning. They don't decrease their sin. They increase it. And Paul is saying here that this is what happened with God's people. If we go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 20, it says, the law came in to increase the trespass. This is the kind of thing that it's talking about. And if you look at the history of God's people, yeah, like in the 1500 years between the law and Jesus, Old Testament history, it's full of sin. People rejecting God and going their own way. People breaking God's law because they hate being bound by it. And just to be clear here, the law is not the problem, right? The law is holy and righteous and good. They're good rules. The problem was the hearts of the people. And so God's people were in an old marriage that wasn't working. Not because of a problem with God, but because of a problem with them. And to make it worse, like a marriage, they were stuck in it, right? Their relationship to the law was lifelong. It was until death do them part. Only death could get them out of it. But fortunately for them, God had another plan. God's plan for his people was for death to come early. And that's why he sent Jesus to die in the place of his people. Jesus dies for their sins. He dies to the law. And because we are united with Jesus, we die to the law too. And that leads to a new marriage. And that's what we see in verses 4 to 6. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Now, the main thing that I want you to notice here is how different that new marriage is compared to the old one. When you become a Christian, you are not just swapping one set of laws for another, right? It's not just trading in your iPhone for an Android phone. It's not a case of we used to be under the Old Testament commandments and now we are under the New Testament commandments. No, it's not like that. There is this old saying, and it's true, Christianity is not about rules. It's about relationship. Christianity is not about rules. It's about relationship. And I think that's what's going on here. And notice the relational language in verse 4. It says, we now belong to Jesus, who's been raised from the dead. We don't bear fruit for death anymore. We bear fruit for a person. We bear fruit for God. Our good deeds are done because we love God and want to please him. You see, the problem of the heart that was there in the old marriage has been fixed. Because now God's Spirit is in our hearts, verse 6. And God's Spirit empowers us to love God and Jesus as we should. Now, at this point, you might ask, well, does that mean that there are no more rules in Christianity then? Is it a case that we just do whatever we feel like now? Is that what it means to be free from the law? Well, no, I don't think so. Maybe a good way to show this difference is just say there are two people and you ask them, what is marriage? And the first one says, marriage is talking to your spouse for at least 30 minutes a day. It's having a date night once per week. It's having a joint bank account. It's celebrating your wedding anniversary every year. Right? So that's one answer. And the second person says, marriage is about loving and being faithful to your spouse for the rest of your life. Which person do you think gets it more? It's the second one, isn't it? Because the first answer is all about rules. You can do all those things and still not love the other person. You could hate their guts and still do those things. But if you truly love them, you will do all those kinds of things and more. And it's like that with the Christian and God. You see, Christians, because they love God, they read the Bible to see what God loves, and they do it. But because we love God, we will also do even more than what God's word tells us to do. Right? That's what Jesus said when he meant, look, the commandment, do not murder, is not just about murder, it's also about not getting angry. The command, do not commit adultery, is not just about the act, but it's about looking and the behavior that comes before the act as well. And this is the new way of Christians living for God. It is loving God from the heart, not minimizing what we do for God, but maximizing it. Serving God not grudgingly, but joyfully. Because we are in a new marriage now, one that is not based on law, but based on love. And so what are some of the lessons that we can take away from this as a church? Well, I think the first one is that we are freed from the law. The Bible goes really, really hard, on people who teach that you still need to obey the law and do good things to be right with God. This is not true from the Bible. This is not biblical teaching. It's a kind of thing that Christians call gospel plus. Because, like, what do you need to be saved? Well, it's not just the gospel, not just Jesus dying for your sins, but it's the gospel plus something else. Right? In the Bible's time, there were people who said that you need to believe the gospel and be circumcised, right? Gospel plus circumcision. Or you need to believe the gospel and also obey the Old Testament law, gospel plus law. In our more modern times, there are people who say that, look, you need to believe in Jesus, but you also need to be baptized, or you also need to take communion, gospel plus baptism or communion. Or you need to believe in Jesus and also join our particular group because every other group is going to hell, right? Gospel plus belonging. You can see from our passage today, look, you can't say that. Right? That's like trying to have both the old marriage and the new marriage. And like it says in our passage, that's spiritual adultery. Right? It's spiritual two-timing. It's like trying to have both marriages at once. It's not what Jesus wants for us. And so firstly, when it comes to your own relationship with God, don't trust in anything that you have done. Don't take pride in what you have done. Trust in what Jesus has done, and you boast about that. And secondly, when it comes to other people's relationship with God, don't judge others on anything except whether they trust in Jesus alone, because we are freed from the law. Second, try love thinking, not law thinking. Do not follow God the way that you do your tax return. When you do your tax return, you're trying to minimize how much you pay as much as possible. Right? You are claiming every single deduction. You are trying to make your taxable income as small as it can be. You're trying to squeeze out as much for yourself as you can. Now, you might be justified in doing that for your taxes, but you would never get away with doing that in a marriage. And so don't think that way about your marriage to Jesus either, right? The church is the bride of Christ. We have been freed from the law to belong to Jesus, to love him and serve him with glad and joyful hearts that are empowered by the Spirit of God. And so the next time that you have to make a decision, especially a decision related to God, right? How should I spend my Sunday mornings? How much money should I give to church? Where should I serve? How should I serve? For all those things, don't think to yourself, what's the minimum that I have to do? Or what's the easiest and most convenient for me? You know, think instead, what is going to show the fact that I love Jesus more than anything else? Try love thinking, not law thinking. And then finally, recognize the limitations of rules. I think this is more for people who are in a position where they can make the rules. And so we're talking here about, you know, parents, teachers, church leaders, leaders at work. And I think the lesson here is that, look, rules are good. You need them. They do protect people. They're good things. But also got to realize that rules are completely useless for getting people to love something that they don't already love. Right? That was the problem with the law. Not a problem with the law, but the problem with people's hearts. We saw from our passage that the law doesn't decrease sin, it increases it. Sinful passions are aroused by the law. Laws, rules, and punishments never break through to the heart. And so if you want people's hearts, don't use rules. Now, you might still need the rules, but in addition to them, use the other means that you have at your disposal. Love the people under your care. Pray for them. Ask God to work that change in them. Persuade and convince them of the goodness and truth of God's ways. And recognize the limitations of rules. I asked the question at the beginning, is Christianity all about rules? I hope that you've seen today that it's not. It's probably the religious system that is least about rules that has ever existed. Right? It's not about rules. It's about relationship with Jesus. It's about belonging to Jesus, loving him, following him, and being like him, bearing fruit for God, all in the power of the Holy Spirit. As we look at the rest of Romans 7, we're going to see more of what this looks like. But the more that you do this, the more you will treat God like a real person and less like a legal document or a code of conduct or a set of rules. And the more you treat God like a real person, the more you will bear fruit for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son Jesus has set your people free from the law. And thank you that we are freed from that law as well. Now, Lord, we pray that we may serve you in the newness of the Spirit. We pray that we may live like people who belong to Jesus and live for you, to bear fruit for you. We pray that our Christian living may not just be ticking boxes, may not just be following rules, may not be pride in how good we are because we keep the rules, but instead it might be a joy and a passion and a love for what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and a desire to please you and praise you because of your great goodness to us. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.